This is a special edition of Monday Morning Radio, one that came together less than 24 hours ago. I'm your host, Dean Rotbart. Welcome to the podcast. Those of you who are expecting to hear from David Haley, founder of Countify and an expert on using computer vision and inventory control to improve supply chain management, will have to wait one more week. What David has to share will be worth the wait. The change in this week's episode came about yesterday afternoon when I spoke with Anton Suja, an expert on augmented reality who is based in Kharkiv, Ukraine. I first interviewed Anton for this podcast in September 2016, when what is happening now in his native Ukraine was unimaginable. Anton, 36 years old, is a highly educated, high-tech expert who works, or worked, for IT Craft, a leader in the global effort to bring augmented reality to Main Street businesses. Ukraine, as of last week, had a budding high-tech sector with grateful clients around the globe. Anton shared with me his very personal and compelling story of how his life has changed since Russia invaded Ukraine this past Thursday. Today, Anton is a refugee in his own country, having fled Kharkiv with his wife, two young children, and their dog. Hearing Anton brings home the tragedy of what's happening in Ukraine in a way that most of the news coverage we watch or read misses. Anton's future is up in the air. He doesn't know if his company will still exist by the time you hear this. He doesn't know if he'll still have a job or a paycheck in the days and weeks ahead. And most critically, he doesn't know whether he'll be forced to flee again, and if so, where he can go. If after hearing what Anton has to say, you'd like to send him a message of encouragement and support, please email me at dean@mondaymorningradio.com. That's dean@mondaymorningradio.com. And I'll forward your messages to him. I'm sure Anton would welcome hearing from you. Now my conversation with Anton Suja, an expert on augmented reality and a man caught up in a political and military maelstrom. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Technology is pretty amazing that you can be in the middle of a war zone and still find a way to connect on the internet. That's pretty amazing.
Yes, this is true. So our internet providers promised internet connection, and they do their best.
Yeah, well, let's hope it holds up for our whole conversation. Start with this. Are you and your family all okay right now?
Yes, thank you. We are in the western Ukraine now, in the city of Khmelnytsky. This is now a bit far from the war zone.
And how did you end up at that specific city? Do you have family there? Why did you go there?
No. Frankly speaking, it all started. So I can't say it wasn't. It was unexpected, but it was really sudden. So we took our car. We took our emergency bags, which we had prepared before, took our dog, and we just headed away from the trying to escape the war. So at first we went to my mother-in-law, who lives, who resides in the central Ukraine, but it wasn't really safe there too. So we headed westwards, and we ended up in Khmelnytskyi because it was really the point we could reach. Now it's there are so many traffic jams in Ukraine, so it's not, it makes no sense to move anywhere further.
Anton, so you're there with your wife. Do you have children with you?
Yes, we all four here. My wife, my daughter, my son, me, and our dogs.
And your dogs. How many dogs?
One dog.
One dog. And how old are your children?
My daughter is 6. Before the war she attended the first class. And my son is 3. My son is 3, and he had to go to the kindergarten this year, but now it's not possible.
So where are you sleeping at night? Are you sleeping in a bomb shelter?
No, it's a very different story. At first, when we moved to the central Ukraine, we slept in an apartment, and we went to the bomb shelter, I guess, 2 times. Fortunately, that was like... And that there was an alarm, but there was no real attack. We went to Khmelnytskyi, where we have no friends, no family, no relatives. But local people have helped us. They found an apartment. It's doesn't have any renovations or something like this. But it's warm and we can stay here. And the bomb shelter is basically the basement.
Yeah.
So it's in the basement of the house where we live.
So, Anton, tell me, I don't think people... in the United States, people listening to this know what it feels like. Are you afraid every day? Are you not afraid? How are you passing your days? Talk a little bit about what it feels like right now for you to be there.
Oh, it's a good question. Thanks for asking. You know, the thing is that it all started last Thursday, February 24th, and I woke up at 5 o'clock, 8 minutes in the morning, when I heard the shelling, and I went to the window, and I just saw how the Russians' missiles flying to the city of Kharkiv. I was lucky enough because I live in the countryside, a bit far from the city, but so nothing was destroyed. But frankly speaking, we were terrified. We just took our bags and we escaped in the last second because... our village was occupied just in the next day, on the next day.
No, you live in the countryside outside of which city, outside of which major city did you live?
I lived outside of Kharkiv.
Okay.
This is the second largest city of Ukraine in the eastern Ukraine.
Yeah.
you can see in the news what is happening here, and I'm really nervous about all my friends and relatives who stayed there. My colleagues, the office, I guess, it's now destroyed.
Tell me this, Anton, what's your family history in Ukraine? Have you been there for many generations? Do they originate someplace outside of Ukraine? What's your family background?
As far as I know, we're all Ukrainians, and we have been living here for many, many years. Like my parents, they come from different parts of the country. So my father is from was from central Ukraine, and my mother was from eastern Ukraine, from Sumy region. So they both met in Kharkiv and stayed there, lived there, and it always felt like a Ukrainian city where Ukrainian used to live. So,
well, again, if at any point it's difficult or unsafe for you to talk, we'll stop. But otherwise, I have still many questions for you, if you if it's safe and you have the time. Tell me a little bit more. Do you have brothers and sisters? Are your parents still alive? What's happening to your wider family in Ukraine?
You see, from my wider family, I have a brother who stays now in Cherkasy in central Ukraine. Unlike me, he preferred to stay because he has his home there, and it is also relatively safe, but okay, but I didn't feel safe there. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I was reminded of that horrible shelling, and, you know, now when someone closes a door or the door too loud, or I don't know, I hear the trolley bus coming, so I feel like anxious. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, shelling can start at every moment. And although they warn, the administration warns about the shelling, still it's really uncomfortable. So regarding the family, my mother, we have my parents died many years ago. It was a traffic accident, and my father had diabetes. So my mom died in a traffic accident, and because my father has diabetes, this accident wasn't really good for him. So illness progressed very fast. I have an uncle who lives in Sumy now, and he's now also hiding from Russian army. And two cousins, one lives with his uncle, and another one lives in Poland now with his wife. And my brother has three children, and his wife, were together with his wife, they preferred to stay, as I said earlier.
No. So Ukraine, from what I read, I'm not an expert, but from what I read, has a population of more than 40 million people. And if Russia is successful in occupying and, you know, removing the Ukrainian government, and Russia is successful and takes control, what would that mean to your life, Anton, assuming that the shelling eventually stops and you wouldn't have to fear tanks and shells, Would you live in fear of living under a Russian occupation?
You know, this is a really simple question. I would be terrified, so I would try to leave immediately because, you know, did you hear the Mr. Putin's speech before the war started?
Yes.
So it's really terrifying, and he promised to destroy us. So I would try to leave immediately to any country which opens its borders, because it would be really an end for everyone who tries to be Ukrainian, who wants to be Ukrainian.
When we first spoke, and I think it was about 5 years ago that you were a guest, and we were talking about IT craft, and our conversation was about augmented reality. So what's happening now with IT craft? You mentioned that you thought perhaps your offices have already been physically destroyed. What's happening to your company?
You know, it's a bit complicated. Right now, so our office was located in Kharkiv, and I think the top management didn't really believe it's going to happen, and no one really believed. I also didn't believe until the shelling started. So most of my colleagues are located now in Kharkiv. They sit in the bomb shelters for days. The good news, they're still alive, and we stay in touch with them. But I'm not sure if anyone starts working tomorrow. We had 2 days off. Everyone who tried to escape from Kharkiv, they escaped. But everyone who tried to do this really had about a couple of hours and needed some luck to go out, to get out alive. So I don't know what's happening there now. So now the company tries to pay people for February's their remuneration for February. I hope this will be successful, because everyone needs money now.
Of course. How large a company is IT Craft? How many people are employees or contributors to it?
Before the war started, the company has, I guess, 300, about 330 employees.
And are most of your clients inside Ukraine, or are they international outside of Ukraine?
It's international. Most of our clients reside in the EU and in the US and in Canada, of course.
And so your company, IT Craft, is obviously one of many. One of the things that was impressive is that Ukraine was developed, I mean, you're talking about just a few days ago when the war started, a very strong high technology sector. Am I correct? It wasn't just IT Craft. There were multiple companies in the high tech industry based in Ukraine.
Thank you. This is true.
Okay. And so do you think now most of those businesses for now can't operate? You suggested that maybe you're expected. We're speaking on a Sunday night for you. You hinted that maybe your company expects you to try to work starting tomorrow. What do you think about that?
Really, I don't know. The thing is that some of bigger companies relocated their developers to the Western Ukraine or to Poland before the war started. AT Craft didn't have, to tell the truth, didn't have such policies. So, like, they gave us days off, trying to evade risks. But if I don't know if anyone starts working on Monday, so it's a big question.
I know that my wife, so I have two adult children. I know my wife, if she, when she listens, will probably be most concerned for your two children. But I also am assuming that they're young to really understand what's going on. Are they doing okay right now?
Thank you. They're fine. We had a conversation with children and we try not to show our anxiety, so I guess it's quite fine. Also, my son does miss his home.
Say that again, your son what?
My son does miss our home.
Oh, he misses your home, okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry, yes.
Were you able to bring any toys or games for the children when you got in the car and left?
Yes, we took a couple of their favorite toys, and also people here in Khmelnytsky presented him with extra toys with a toy car. He was really excited about it.
Where you are living right now? When you, if you go out, is there food in the markets? Does it feel like more or less like normal, or is everything closed? Is it hard to find supplies, pharmaceuticals, toiletries, things like that? Where you are right now, is it close to normal?
Yes, it is. It is close to normal. It's quite fine. You can find food. You can find, I don't know, anything you need, any supplies. Also, people help, local people do bring. They have a kind of, I would say, food bank, and they bring a lot of food, a lot of different products, canned food, and so on. Just to help refugees, so I can't say that I'm happy, but I can say that I'm fine.
Well, that's good, and I hope that continues. Why is it that so many of your colleagues didn't think this would happen? What was your thinking that it was that President Putin was bluffing? What did you think would happen?
You know, it's really strange because it's not rational. Because when you think rationally, it was the least logically reasonable thing to do. Like, we were really... I believe... And I'm really grateful Americans and British people for their assistance for giving us weapon. So I believe that Western weapons do work against the Russians, and they do really help us defend. So it didn't really seem to make sense to do this thing. Like, guys, we have weapons. Why would you do this? We're motivated, but you shouldn't underestimate a crazy person.
No, unfortunately. So do you feel that President Zelensky are you happy with him? Do you feel he's doing a good job? Do you think he or the country should have done more before the war began?
It's a really interesting question, because reflecting on all these things, I would say that I was never happy about Zelensky being the president of Ukraine before the war started. But now I do see the president. Like, the things he does, he, in my opinion, now he looks like the president, he talks like the president, he supports the nation, he looks like a leader. But why didn't he do these things for the last 2-3 years? I have no answer. But it's a good thing that he's doing right things right now. So I would say that on February 24th, I did see President Zelensky for the first time in my life. And okay, this is great.
What did, before the 24th, what didn't you like about him? Was it that you didn't take him seriously?
He acted like a cheap comedian, in my opinion. Sorry to say this.
Anton, I don't know laws in Ukraine. Does every able-bodied male have to go to the military at some point or not? I'm not talking about the war. I'm talking about just before the war. For example, did you have to serve in the military?
Yes and no. Yes, because everyone is obliged to serve. No, because I made my doctor's degree, so I was, I don't know how to say this right, I was excluded.
You were excused. Exempted. That's good. That's the right word. So you were exempted. It's hard to know what we're seeing on American television. It's hard to know. There are multiple news channels, and I try to watch each of them. That because of their political bent, you get a somewhat different story. And to be honest, Anton, I think some of it comes across as propaganda, as pro-Ukrainian propaganda. In other words, the American television networks clearly are on the side of Ukraine and see Ukraine as the victim, if you will, in all this. So nobody on American television is saying nice things about Russia and Putin. But I don't know what the truth is. And one of the things that somewhat seems like propaganda to me is talking about how many average citizens who don't have military background are picking up rifles and other weapons and going out to fight. Do you think that's accurate?
In reality, people are motivated to pick up guns and go fight because of all these things that Russians have done to our country since 2014.
Yeah.
So no one wants to live in so-called Donetsk People's Republic. No one wants to live in a sort of Somaliland. I'm sorry to say this. So it's better to start fighting for a future than trying to get pressed. Trying to get, I don't know, like to get invaded, because there, if we are invaded, there is no future for anyone.
So it sounds to me, Anton, that I don't want to put words in your mouth, but let me tell you what I think you're saying, and then you tell me if it's accurate. And that is that right now you're holding out hope that Ukraine will be able to resist the Russian invasion and repel it, push it back, or perhaps maybe reach some sort of a peace agreement that leaves Ukraine intact, that does not end up in an occupation. That would be your hope. And if that does not come to pass, then your intention is not to live under Russian rule, if at all possible. It would be to get yourself out of Ukraine. Is that accurate?
Almost.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for telling this. So, yes, the thing is that we are defending ourselves. We are defending our homes, our land. And I don't think there is any hope for a peace agreement with Russians, so Putin will be satisfied only if he invades, if he conquers the entire Ukraine, no more, no less. So, and you know, the problem is that everyone who learns history hates this scenario because this all reminds me the USSR and Ukraine wasn't really a good place to live when there was USSR, and for many people who have an income, it's better to live now. So this is why we are fighting, because we don't want back to the communism. We want to live in Europe, in a free land. If this makes sense, what I say.
It does. It seems to me, Anton, that your knowledge, your education, your skills, you've been a university lecturer, would be welcome in almost any country. It seems to me that if you have to leave Ukraine, and I hope you don't, but that if you do, you should be okay, because I think your skills are much in demand. Where would you want to live if you had to leave Ukraine?
Oh, thank you for these words, Dean. You know, if I had to leave, I would probably go to Canada.
Okay.
Why Canada? First of all, because it has many Ukrainians, and the Ukrainian minority is really big there. It's bigger than Russian. Canada is really the only country where Ukrainians outnumber Russians. So also maybe I would go to Germany also. In any case, I would join a country who can really defend it against Vladimir Putin, and a country that can and will win the fight against Russia if it starts to another war, and I'm pretty sure it will if it conquers Ukraine.
Yeah. Anton, I'm going to ask you two other questions, and then I'll let you go for now. One is, what can listeners to this audio do to be helpful to you and your family directly? And the second question is, what can listeners do in your mind to be helpful to Ukraine?
You know, it's a tough question. Like for me, if your listeners would like to help my family, I would say please help us defend. So I'm really grateful to the Americans and to the United Kingdom. As I said previously, their weapon is really invaluable because it helps stop Russians they have our soldiers have damaged so many tanks just because they got the weapons on time. So, but you know, it's, things get really tense. Mr. Putin just announced he was going to use nuclear missiles, if I understand the message right. And I guess this is the problem for the entire Earth, not just only for Ukraine, and for a distant land somewhere in the middle of nowhere. So I would ask your listeners to take this problem very, very, very seriously, and to reflect about it, and to think what can they do to stop Russians. And probably this would be helpful for the entire Ukraine, not only for my family.
Okay.
So, and another thing I would like to ask the listeners just to take all information critically and very seriously, because there are many Russians very, very skillful in producing fake news, and they produce so much disinformation. And I would like to say that fact-checking is a crucial thing for the entire world. And another crucial thing is security, like passwords, profiles, friends on Facebook, connections on LinkedIn. So always, it's always really, really useful to keep security and internet internet literacy on a high level.
Yeah, literacy. So Anton, you and I and my listeners, we can meet again if need be. I hope the situation will only improve for you. But regardless, when you're able to reach internet, phone, or even email, we'd love to stay up to date. And I would like, it's hard when you look at headlines to have a good perspective. But if you look at what's going on through the eyes of one person or one family, it makes it more real. It makes it easier to understand. So talking to you makes it easier to understand what it's like to be in Ukraine right now and what the challenges are. So I first and foremost, I wish you safety and health and well-being. But know that you've got friends here, and please feel free to reach out if things change and you think of something else that would be helpful. Just let us know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is really helpful, and really appreciate and value your support of your listeners, of Americans. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to Monday Morning Radio with Dean Rothbart. Be sure to read and subscribe to my weekly email column, The Monday Morning Memo, at mondaymorningmemo.com, where I share my observations on the world at large, trends, tastes, marketing, advertising, small business, whatever else is on my mind. This is Roy H. Williams.
Good luck. All the best. Till we hear from you again.